invite you to turn your Bibles a little to 1 Corinthians 15. And we saw this morning about the gospel and how the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is that the pinnacle, the climax of that, the sealing aspect of it, all points, all aspects of it, all parts of it are necessary and essential. They have all their own place. But without any of those, the gospel would not be complete. And Christ, having died and being buried, having sacrificed himself for sinners' sins, for his people's sins, if he did not raise from the dead, we would be of men most miserable. But the last enemy, verse number 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And the Lord will do so as he wraps things up of this world, as he brings us into the millennial reign, as he before that brings a tribulation and judgment upon the earth, as he deals with Satan at the end of the millennial reign and the fallen angels, as he judges those that are unrepentant and unbelieving, he will destroy death. And he's already has a great, wonderful start on it because it is subject to him. He willingly entered into death and has defeated it and has abolished it. I like this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I refer to it often. And let's read it here, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's back up verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me of his prisoner, Paul writes to brother Timothy, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, that fellowship of the gospel that we've seen in Philippians, as brother Bobby has been reading in devotion, who hath saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so we see here that the salvation, the calling, the work of God is manifested in the coming and the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, and in the things that he did and the fulfilling of his gospel has abolished death. We will physically die, the Lord's children will, but we will be touched by death no further. It has no additional hold on us. And the most important thing is that eternal aspect and the spiritual aspect. Those who are found unrepentant and unbelieving at the great white throne judgment will be cast into the lake of fire. What is it that the scripture says there? Which is the second death. That's what the Lord tells us that it is. It says he's abolished death and hath brought life. That's what he's given to us. And he says he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And indeed in Christ we do. And brought immortality to light. You know that a sinner like you and me can have immortality. You know, there's been many of history that we've heard about what Ponce de Leon was looking for, the fountain of youth. I was thinking about this today, probably, and this is by no means a gripe or a slam, ladies, but probably there's some of you, at least I know some, that have age-reducing or age-stopping creams. Maybe there are those that want to do different things to try to slow down age or the appearance of age happening. That there's always been that. There have been those that have looked for ways to try to stop us from aging, okay? But there's no doing that. We can try. No one has found such. But in Christ, he hath brought immortality to light through the gospel, through his death, burial, and resurrection. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, a sinner receiving such, repenting of their sins before God and receiving Christ Jesus and what he has done, you can have immortality. You can live forever with the Lord. And so, so we see and saw here about how this last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And because he rose from the dead, he's able to deal with that. So then now let's go into the latter part of the chapter, starting at verse number 35. And he warns this church, and may we be warned, when the doctrine, when the teaching of the world creeps in, we can start getting ideas like there's no resurrection of the dead. And so the argument is made that, well, that can't be. Because watch out for any doctrine, any teaching that we might receive, because there will no doubt be ramifications. That's what I think that probably these that in verse number 12 that said, how say some of you, Paul writing to them and declaring to them, how say some of you there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, I don't believe that they're there in the church and they're saying, I don't believe that the dead are going to be resurrected. That's got ramifications. That means something, and Paul has laid it out here. So, well, if you believe that there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ didn't raise from the dead, because we saw this morning they are connected, they are inseparable, and so what we take up from the world and from self wisdom and conceitedness and such as that, it will have ramifications. So beware. That's this statement: be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There were some, evidently in the church, that took up this way of those in Ephesus, where they said, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Live it up. Live it up here, because this is all you've got." And you know, there's a great contingent in the world that believes that in our day. They think that this is it, and that will cause them to do things to try to take and preserve that. And it's a subject for another time. So then those that doubt say, okay, well, you say there's a resurrection. Well, how can it be? How can it really? Give me the nuts and bolts of it. How can it be? Because look how it is. We live, we get old, we die. Nobody has done anything with any of that. No, nobody has taken somebody that has died and caused them to live again. Nobody has reversed aging. So let's see what the Lord gives us in that. By the gospel of the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Lord Jesus, it is so that folks can live forever in peace and harmony and true liberty with our Lord. But some man will say, verse 35, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Okay, and so there's a thinking, so, well, it'll just be spiritual, out in the ooey gooey, out in the ooey gooey ether. Okay, there's some that say that, some that doubt that it can be, even be at all. Okay, strong words, verse number 36, thou fool. Now, what does the scripture say about the fool? The fool hath said in his heart, no God, right? And so it's a direct, I mean, just going right after the jugular of the thought, if you will. Don't be foolish in your thinking, because we're dealing with God. That's what this entire portion of the passage is dealing with. Thou fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. You can understand this just by planting, sowing and watching grow and reaping. Isn't it interesting that they knew then that seeds had to die before they could grow? Yeah. Well, the Lord teaches those things, doesn't he? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, it's not made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and every seed his own body. So he starts off just with planting. You can know about this just from the sowing of the crops and the growing of the crops. Now, do you put an ear of corn in to get an ear of corn? It doesn't come out ears of corn on a stalk, because you put the ear of corn in, but the seeds, right? You don't need the cob. Now, in olden days, they used to plant some that way, I guess. But the thing is it's the seed. And so does the kernel look like the stalk with the ears on it and the shucks, right? And the silks and on the cob? It's the grain. Does a grain of wheat, does it just come up out of the ground, a grain of wheat? No, it comes up a stalk with a head and the husk that the seeds are in, that the grain is in, right? And so there's a body that seed results in. There's a body that seed results in. That which thou sowest, verse 37, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but the grain, the seeds, okay? The seeds. It may be chance wheat, if you sow wheat, or barley, or corn, or whatever. God giveth it a body that has pleased him. How? And where? In creation. The Creator designed, you know, we can think of nothing else but planting corn and corn come up. But what if it had been that the Lord, you planted a corn grain and you'd have got wheat? You know what would have been? It'd have been that way. But it's not that way. What he did is we plant corn and we get corn. But the body, the resultant body of what grows from that kernel, all of that stalk and all of those leaves and all of that intricacy of what two or three ears that are on that stalk are bound up in that little seed. That's a discussion for another time. All in that life substance that the Lord has programmed in that is in there, and he has created that to come out that way. So what do you think about the resurrection? Would he quit working amongst men? No. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. You plant tomato seeds? Well, first it comes up a vine, doesn't it? And then it gets blossoms on it. And then that results in the fruit, doesn't it? And inside that fruit, which can be food for us, are other seeds that could be planted again to get that whole thing. And in every one of those little seeds is the programming for that. God giveth it a body as it pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh, consider this, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men. Okay, we get that, don't we? Muscle, sinews, to use a Bible word, or ligaments and tendons, blood, veins, arteries, hair. We've got bones. Okay, we have different aspects of that. But you know what? There's a flesh of men and another flesh of beasts. You take a cow, their skin is not like our skin, is it? No, we refer to that as their hide. And they've got hair there. We are designed the way that we are designed. And they're designed the way that they're designed. Another of fishes. The flesh of a fish is not like the flesh of a man or the flesh of a cow, is it? Or of a deer. Or of a wolf. Or of a lion. And another of birds, right? The notable thing about birds is they are able to fly. God's designed them with hollow bones. Aren't we glad we don't have hollow bones? That's a danger for when we get older is having osteoporosis. We don't have hollow bones. But the birds, they have hollow bones. And their flesh is not the flesh of a chicken. It's not like our skin and our muscles and such, right? And so the Lord in creation has done all this. There are also celestial bodies up in the sky, the moon, the sun, the stars. And bodies terrestrial. There's the earth and the way that the Lord has created such. But the glory of the celestial is one. That's. Can you imagine? We've got our sun. It's a marvel how the Lord designed the sun to burn so long to give us the just right, pardon me, the just right amount of heat that we need on the earth. And then he's got an innumerable number of stars out there burning too. I mean, that's just different than what we see of the things here on the earth. And some have taken trips and gone to different places to see different sights, to see the oceans, to see the mountains, to see the prairie of the west, and to see the things of the east and all that, the different mountain ranges. It's different, isn't it? And God has created, although they have their own way, their own glory, their own body. There are also celestial bodies, some bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one. It's one type of creation. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, right? They're different. The moon's a reflector. The sun is a source. And another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Some are brighter than others. Some have greater intensity than others. So those are some things that we see round about us in the pattern and the way of God and creation, the way things grow, the way we sow and what we sow, and then how it grows up and what it looks like when it's sown and what it looks like when it grows up. And then we consider this about the flesh of men. We consider this about the flesh of the animals. We consider this about the glory of the earth. And we consider this about the glory and the majesty of the way that the Lord's made the bodies in the celestial. Okay. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead is just that same way. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. And we know that when we're born heading towards death. That's what sin has done to us. We age. We are the effects of sin are upon us, and we change. We don't look like in our 50s and in our 70s. We don't look like how we did in our strength and our youth and our 20s. And what's happening is we're wearing down and we're wearing out, and we are ultimately heading for the grave. And when it comes time to die, the body is generally found weak. It's found unable to function as it did in the prime of life. There is just that we just are not in body the person that we were in body. Okay? So also is the resurrection of dead. It is sown in corruption. Our corruption, our dying, our the effects of sin upon us are revealed in us day by day. We cannot escape it. That's what sin has done unto us. But you know what? When they take that body of our brother and sister, our loved one that is secure in Christ, that is saved, and we put them in that coffin and we lay them in the ground, they will be raised in incorruption. When they are seen in body again, there'll be no more dying. There'll be no more changing. Can you imagine on the day of the rapture, the day of the resurrection, when the Lord comes for his own, bringing his saints with him, and they reunited with the bodies, their bodies that come up out of the earth at the promise of the Lord, and we that are alive and remain are caught up and changed, which the scripture here speaks about soon, we will not age one second again. There'll not be a change ever anymore. Immortality. Immortality in our Lord. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Verse number 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It's sown in corruption, verse 42, and raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, in our feebleness, in our inability. We just cannot do what we did before. And some even get to the shape they cannot take care of themselves. It's a hard thing to cope with. In our minds, we don't age. In our thinking, we don't age. Until we would be in the grips of dementia or Alzheimer's. You know full well in your 50s, you're still thinking like you're in your 20s. Or did. In your 60s, you're thinking like you did when you were younger. It's just that way. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. A glorified body like Christ, Brother John tells us. It is sown in weakness, which we certainly can understand, and raised in power. Jesus says we'll be like the angels. I wonder what all that will entail, to be like the angels. We'll not be made an angel. I'm disturbed by that, that when someone passes and they say, well, heaven gained another angel. I tell you what, heaven didn't gain another angel from a person. If they were saved, the Lord brought home his child. The angels are the angels. And those who die amongst mankind, if they're saved, they don't become an angel. They go on to glory to be with their heavenly Father and their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Yeah, this old flesh, dust to dust. Not ashes to ashes, it's not in the scripture, but dust to dust. We do return to dust. It is sown a natural body, and this is what's in reference to what's spoken about in the book of Romans, about how we are planted in the Lord, and the signifying of this of baptism, that planting in the Lord, that we are when we submit to baptism and what it declares about how the Lord has saved us. It is raised a spiritual body. Sown a natural body, planted. Isn't that interesting that the wording that's used is like the sowing of a seed? Sown. It is sown a natural body. Verse number 43, it is sown in honor. We're going to grow up into something that we are not when we are laid to rest in the heart of the earth. It is sown a natural body, verse 44. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. And there is a spiritual body, a body that is not affected and that transcends time, a body that is able to go from the earth during the millennial reign to glory or wherever the Lord would bid us to go, a body likened to our Lord Jesus that is untouched by sin. And so here we see the planting of the Lord and this of the resurrection. Verse number 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. So if you and I look to compare anything about eternal things and resurrection and being with the Lord and being like Christ, we're looking to compare it to the way the function is and that of aging and the effects of sin on this body, we've got the wrong comparison. We need supernatural understanding and thinking. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so such are they also that are earthy. It's the way it's always going to be. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Distinction between the two. You can't take and understand about the heavenly and the spiritual and the resurrected body by looking to the things that we experience in this earthly body. We have to have understanding beyond that. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So a change. He's going to tell us about that change. Being as the angels, being like Christ. How are you and I, that we who are saved, how are we like Christ now? Well, we're sure not in body, are we? We're trying to be in body. But it's only in soul and in spirit that we are like Christ. Not in body yet, but we want to be, don't we? And we look forward to being that. But in body, we are not. That salvation is yet to come. And that's not saying that our salvation is incomplete. No, our souls are saved and we are secure in Christ. We are redeemed, but we just have not received the promise and inheritance to go on in physically into eternity. We've got the promise. We've got the earnest of the Spirit within. It is safe and secure. We're secure in Christ. But we just haven't been saved completely, physically yet. And the resurrection speaks about that. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're looking to go in, if you and I are looking to go into eternity like this, give it up. It does not work. You're going to have some higher thinking, because if you and I would enter into the presence of the Lord right now, we would be consumed. This corruption of this flesh, the glory and the holiness of God would just consume us. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. As I mentioned this morning, verse 4-51, behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery. In this aspect of it being a mystery, you know, it is a mystery because I'd heard about it before I was saved. I knew that folks were excited about it before I was saved, but I didn't get it. And I'm not telling you I fully comprehend how it's going to be now, but the thing is, it is a mystery. This world does not believe that you can live past this life. And you know what the hope, the greatest hope of the way of the world and the way of mankind is that maybe you come back around in another cycle to live as a leaf on a flower arrangement in the front of a church house, right? Those of incarnation. Wouldn't it be terrible to come back as a pot for a plant? I mean, folks that believe in incarnation, that you might come back as a church pew, or you might come back as a frog. That's the best they can do. Isn't that something? The mythology, those that believed in mythology, Greek and Roman mythology, the only way you could attain to something else is if a god laid a very special blessing on you. And then as we read about all the mythology, they were fraught with all kinds of resultant problems. That's the best that they can do. It's a mystery about living again. It's a mystery about living eternally. It's a mystery that's got to be revealed. There's the mystery of the gospel. There are those that the mystery of the gospel has not been revealed unto them. But why is that, Brother Jim? That's in the Lord's hands. I don't know, other than that's what the Lord has chosen. But you know what? The mystery of the gospel has been revealed to us, hasn't it? Even if you're here and you're not saved, the mystery of the gospel is not, it's not a mystery from the standpoint of you not knowing about it. You know about it now. It's been brought forth. I pray that you can receive it with saving faith. Well, there's also a mystery about the life to come, too. It's not just out there known in front of everybody. Sure, as we read earlier, the things of the earth and the creation testify to it when we are told how we can look at them and understand it. But it is a mystery. He says, behold, I show you a mystery, church at Corinth, saints. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How long does an eye twinkle take? Not long, huh? Just a speck of time. At the last trump, there's an indicator there of when this would be, if we can understand it from the scriptures. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So there we're told that the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. No effect, blemish, tarnish, touch of sin ever again, evermore. Dead in Christ, sleeping in Christ, they'll be raised incorruptible. And we that remain, if we can borrow from 2 Thessalonians, we that remain shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It's a mystery. but it's a mystery that is brought to bear and brought to pass only by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. Because he rose from the dead, so will we. And that number of saints that will remain alive will be changed. And the catching up will be changed. I don't mind flying. I like to fly. I like being in a little airplane, a big airplane. I like flying. But won't it be something just to be there, to hear the trump, and you are gone out of here like a rocket, faster than a rocket, the speed of light, I believe, and to be changed on the way up. And to see our brothers and sisters in Christ that have gone on before us and to see them going up together, I mean, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, that's the way it is observed from here. But for us, it will be going there into eternity, into glory, and going to our Lord. Seeing him as he is, changed in the resurrection, in the rapture, as we call it. Corruption putting on incorruption, and mortal putting on immortality, and time having no effect upon us ever, ever, ever again. So verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, when it is done, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We will not die, we that are alive and remain, will be changed. I've wondered about that. Will it be like a death, just in an instant? Our brothers and sisters in Christ that have gone on before us, I mean, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, they were brought over by the Lord and his angels just in that little step into eternity. That's the way it'll be for us as we ascend up to the clouds to be with our Lord. We will be changed, and death will be gone from us forever. Death gone, never to be thought of again, never to be feared. Death will be swallowed up in the victory of what? Of life. The victory of life that the Lord Jesus has given us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we will be brought to the Father by him in that. Immortality. Resurrection. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Death. Death is gone. We see death, and we hear about death, and we wonder about death. We see death in our loved ones. We fear death for our loved ones. We fear death for one another, if you understand. It's the part of life. It's part of life. The part of life in living is dying. Won't that be something when we don't even think about death anymore? It's not even on the radar screen ever again. All because of Jesus. He rose from the dead. He defeated and abolished death forever. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, or that reference to hell, the grave where the body is placed. No person, there's all this... All this zombie stuff. Again, that's part of one of those things about this obsession with death and people coming out of the graves in this zombie state to terrorize people. I mean, it's just wicked. It's just a wicked, wicked thing. It's a distraction. Don't put that stuff in your heart and your mind. You don't need any of that. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There is no victory, is there? The grave, we know the grave from those out here planted, buried out here in the cemetery of the church. You know, they don't, their bodies don't come out of there. But they will, those that are saved. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And you know what? Our sins have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, washed away by his blood. And the strength of the sin is the law, because the law tells us that we've sinned. We can't ever escape it. It's true. We have sinned, but Christ has redeemed us. He's washed us. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He entered into death and defeated it and abolished it for us. The resurrection. Well, how can that happen? How can that be that we can live again? As I told, as there, some of those laughed at the Apostle Paul over there on Mars Hill. Well, that's laughable. That's just crazy to think that somebody, how could that be? Well, you're going to go get my body and drag it up and make me live again? They're thinking limited like a man. No, we're going to have a body like Christ. And we're going to live as long as Christ does. And how long is Jesus going to live? Forever. And we will live with him and be like him, and death will be gone from us. Therefore, because of all these things, my beloved brethren, because of all that, because of the work, the accomplishment, the promises, the design, the working of the Lord to present and the promises of his working in the future. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. See, it's like the brother wrote there in 1 Thessalonians 4, comfort one another with these words. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Therefore, my beloved brethren, always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it's not empty. It's not for a cause that won't last. It's not just for this temporal time, although it is in this temporal time, this short time that we have of life, but it is eternal. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for so great salvation through our Lord and Savior. He's taken care of every detail. Not only sins forgiven, but what the future is, what eternity is, what life beyond this life is. All for his honor and his glory, but made us children and included us in it. And if you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we point you to him. We can't save you. Oh, if we could save you, we'd have already done it. But we can't save you. But we tell you about the one that is the Savior. This one who gives eternal life. This one who forgives sinners' sins. This one who gives everlasting life. Who has defeated death. He's defeated the grave. He's the Savior that you need. Repent and believe and trust in him. Oh, the glory of the resurrection.